A very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. It's my pleasure to welcome all those who are worshiping for the first time or doing so after a very long while. And it's quite nice to see so many people despite this miserable weather. We want to also welcome those who are worshiping via Zoom to this service. For those who are vigilant enough, you would have noticed that Florence looks a bit different. I don't want to embarrass her, but just to let the congregation know that we are expecting a Newport on Tay baby. Thank you very much. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Let us worship God. And our first team, all hail the power of Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Glory and praise to God the Father Almighty, the Creator, the Lord of our whole universe. Glory and praise to the Son, the Redeemer, who has removed our fear and our guilt by taking the world's sin upon himself. Glory and praise to the Spirit, our guide and our hope, by whom we are built up in fellowship, knowledge, and love. To the Trinity, one God, the source of life and truth, the wholeness, be all honor and power and glory from the whole creation until the end of time. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we bless you for the gospel of Christ, for the good news he gave to the world of justice and love and compassion. We thank you for the hope we have of your kingdom and for the privilege that is yours in being part of Christ's body, the church. For all the friendship and encouragement that we have found within the church's fellowship, for the presence of the Holy Spirit acting in our lives, sometimes in spite of our obstructiveness, for the joys of home and family and the excitement of life today, we give praise and thanks to you who have planned and given us all things. God, our Father, your light always exposes the extent of our darkness. Your faithfulness is the measure of our disloyalty. The recollection of your forgiving love reveals the ugly hardness of our hearts. We claim you joyfully as our Father, but we do not deserve a place within your family. For we make up rules to suit ourselves and we trade on your forgiving nature. For the ways in which our lives have worked against your purpose, and for all the hope you have had for us, which we have not fulfilled, we ask you, Lord, to pardon us and cleanse us and receive us back again. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, now is the time to worship. The next team. Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 11. God's righteous judgment. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first to the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Our second reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 64, reading from verses 4 to 9. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to help those who are gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our ways sweep away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us as we pray, for we are all your people. May God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. Let us continue our worship by singing hymn 444.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, enlighten us and bless our hearts through the message of your most holy word, and strengthen us for service unto humanity. Amen. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. All of us have become like one who is unclean, says the prophet, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. That is a confession, and it is an acknowledgement that we cannot save ourselves because we have wandered from the ways of God and have gone astray, and God has distanced himself from us. In Isaiah chapter 63, from verses 15 to 19, the prophet Isaiah raises a complaint on behalf of the people of Israel. He states that God has withheld his might and compassion from them. According to the prophet, this is not right because God is the true Father of Israel, and they are who they are because of the covenant love of God, who is not merely the Father of the nation, but also its Redeemer. And if that love should ever be withdrawn, their reason for existence would be called into question. Yet that seems to be precisely what has happened. And God is far away because the people wandered from God's ways with hardened hearts that do not know how to fear him. Unless God softens and the depraved and hardened human heart, there is no way we can ever turn to him. But the fact is, he has already done all that is necessary for that softening to occur. What is missing is the human will to appropriate what God has done. God does not have to be implored to return to his people. As Malachi 3:6 puts it, God has not changed. If his people would return to him, he will return to them. In chapter 64, which is our text, the prophet Isaiah moves from complaint to petition, calling on God in the name of the people to come down to their aid and show himself so that the people might know exactly who God is, the sovereign of the universe. Only when those nations see God blessing and defending a transformed people will they recognize him appropriately. And this petition is based on previous experiences where whenever God had manifested himself, dramatic things occurred, from the parting of the Red Sea to the stopping of the rain for 3 years. Unlike any other so-called gods, the Lord performed his miracles on behalf of his people. And so here is the evidence that God can act, and he has acted. So it is foolish to ask him to act again. Now, friends, but if Isaiah knows that God can act, he also knows that there are conditions for that to occur. And they are stated in Isaiah 64, verse 4 to 5. God only acts on behalf of those who wait for him. That is, those who put their trust in him and not in their own devices. And one evidence of such a trust is a life of godliness. To remember his ways is not merely an intellectual awareness of God's character and expectations, nor is it only to give intellectual assent to those matters. Rather, As Deuteronomy 8:10 to 20 shows, it is to live according to the ways of God. And that is confirmed at Isaiah 64, verse 5, which says, God comes to the help of those who gladly do what is right. Relationship with the Holy God while doing what is contrary to his character is a contradiction in terms. Yet the prophet Isaiah admits that is exactly what has happened. The people of God have sinned against God by failing to keep his commandments. Thus, instead of God's presence being a blessing to the people, it has become a curse. So while it is theoretically possible to petition God to break through the barriers of time and space and make them a righteous people, their very unrighteousness prevents the petition from being heard. How indeed can they be saved? If the people tended to blame God for their hard-heartedness, at least they did not minimize the reality of their condition. They could not have a relationship with God and fulfill their mandate of being a light to the nations as long as they continued to live lives that were a reproach to his holy character. They are unclean. Even the righteous things they do are defiled and contaminated. And this perspective underlines the Old Testament understanding that sin is not first of all behavioral dysfunction, but rather an offense against the very nature of life, which finally must end in death and in decay. So the problem is that no one bothers to call upon the name of the Lord or strive to lay hold of him. God has hidden his face from us and given us over to our sins. So how is one's life to be lived out as a believer? Is it a matter of discipline and commitment? First of all, it is a matter of laying hold of God, of calling on God's name. It is to be in a vital relationship of dependence and self-renunciation. You see, dear friends, our great danger is in being self-deceived, indulging self-sufficiency, and thus separating from God, the source of our strength. Our natural tendencies, unless corrected by the Holy Spirit of God, have in them the seeds of moral death. Unless we become vitally connected with God, we cannot resist the unhallowed effects of self-indulgence, self-love, and temptation to sin. In order to receive help from Christ, we must realize our need. As I have quoted several times from this pulpit, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul lie to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. We must have a true knowledge of ourselves. It is only he who knows himself to be a sinner that Christ can save. Only as we see our utter helplessness and renounce all self-trust shall we lay hold of divine power. It's not only at the beginning of the Christian life that this renunciation of self is to be made. At every advanced step heavenward, it is to be renewed. All our good works are dependent on a power outside of ourselves. Therefore, there needs to be a continual reaching out of the heart after God, a constant, earnest confession of sin and humbling of the soul before him who has called us out of the darkness of the world into his marvelous life. Perils surround us, and we are saved only as we feel our weakness and cling with a grasp of faith to our almighty deliverer. When that is so, right behavior will follow. But if right behavior becomes the focus, that behavior quickly becomes self-serving and is reduced to nothing more than filthy rags. God's face cannot help but be hidden from such people, and they are left to waste away in their sins. How do I finish after that long theology? This text suggests that we are wasting away in our sins because we won't turn to God. At the same time, we won't turn to God because God has hidden his face from us. And that to me is a conundrum indeed. So what is to be done? Only God can break the cycle, stop the punishment, and restore his people to himself. And this has to be so because the nation of Israel in that context only existed because of God, the Father who brought them into existence, the potter who formed their clay on his will. So he should not allow the people's sin to make him forget that they are his creation. And this has to be so because God has claimed us also to be his own. And that is why he sent his Son into the world to die for our sins, so that we may be redeemed to die no more. He will forgive us our sins and heal all our diseases. Friend, as we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning, let us surrender our everything to God and trust that we are utterly helpless without his help, and that only he can satisfy our deepest longings, fill our emptiness, and quench our thirst, because all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And without God, we all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Let us bow our heads in prayer. We take a moment of silence to bring ourselves to God and to surrender to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we cannot claim to be righteous before you because we know that all of us have wandered away from your ways, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags before you. Forgive us, O Father, when we haven't acknowledged our sin before you and when we failed to confess. Accept us as we are and renew our lives for the service of the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, bread and wine and money. And in bringing them, we bring ourselves. Take these gifts to do your work in the world. Father, accept our offering. Holy Father, Creator, Redeemer, and King, we set before you this money, this bread, and this wine. They are the fruit of the work you have given us to do. We bring them here now to express our longing that all our work and life may be an offering to you. Use them, therefore, we pray you, to bring us to the joy of communion with Jesus Christ, both inside here among your people, and afterwards outside when we serve you in the world. Dear Father, you promised through your Son to hear us when we pray in faith. We give you heartfelt praise and thanks for all your grace and love and goodness which you have poured out on us to this very hour. We thank you that you have graciously sheltered us during the past night from all evil and danger, and have preserved us and given us your daily blessing. We pray you, our Heavenly Father, that you may make us glad this day with your goodness and safeguard all your people and us. Lead us by your Holy Spirit in all goodness and teach us to do those things which you like us to do. Father, we pray for your Holy Catholic Church that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you at all, that all people may glorify your name. We pray for church leaders and ministers, that they may be faithful in proclaiming your word and in administering your sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be peace and justice among your people. Give us courage to do your will in all that we undertake, that we may be blessed in all our words and works. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, the sick, those whose consciences are wounded, the lonely, the aged, the infirm, and the dispossessed of society, that they may find refuge in you and be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest, and let your light shine upon them forever. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. And now, in a moment of silence, let us pray for our own needs, and for those who have asked us to pray for them. Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what is in accordance with your will, and those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is worshipped and glorified with you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, song number 19, Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads on High. Dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our desire to receive God's grace and love in the communion of the Lord. Many as we are one body. Therefore, acknowledge each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. As the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and wine, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart to the holy use and mystery for which he has appointed them. And as he blessed these holy things and gave thanks, let us also come near to God and present to him our prayers and our thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father, it is our right and our duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. You created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. You made man in your likeness, and your mercy is over all your works. We are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the real Easter Lamb, which was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world, who by his death destroyed death and by his rising to life again has brought to us everlasting life. You, mighty God, heavenly King, we magnify and praise. With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. Blessed are you, Almighty God, who so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not as we ought, but as we are able, do we bless you for his holy incarnation, for his perfect life on earth, for his precious sufferings and death upon the cross, for his glorious resurrection and ascension, for his continual intercession and rule at your right hand, for his promise of coming again, and for his gift of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, having in remembrance the work and passion of our Savior Christ, and pleading his eternal sacrifice, we, your servants, celebrate his memorial, which he has commanded us to make. And we most humbly pray you to send down your Holy Spirit to sanctify both us and these gifts of bread and wine, which we have set before you, that the bread which we break may be the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup which we bless the communion of the blood of Christ, that we, receiving them, may by faith be made partakers of his body and blood, and with all his benefits for our spiritual food and drink, so that we grow in grace and to the glory of your most holy name. And here we offer and present to you ourselves to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice. And we ask you mercifully to accept this as sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as in fellowship with all the faithful in heaven and on earth, we pray you to fulfill in us and in all people the purpose of your redeeming love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be given to you, O Father Almighty. Our Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can I ask you to take out your bread, please? Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had prayed and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." Can I ask you to open your wine, please? In the same way also, when supper was ended, he took the cup, and when he had blessed and given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you, my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Your death, O Christ, we proclaim. Your resurrection, we announce. Your coming, we await. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, you have glorified your name by raising your Son, Jesus Christ, from the grave, and you made him the author of life. With joyful hearts, we bring to you our sacrifice of adoration and thanksgiving, and pray you to let us take part in his victory and life, ruling us by your Spirit, that we may no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. Help us to overcome the fear of death and the grief by the power of his resurrection, and wait confidently for that hour when his voice will call us from the resurrection of life. Through him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bring this service to its close as we sing, "Now Thank We All Our God." Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.